You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
I'd like to now introduce you to the Reverend Dave Clements, who is kindly giving this service from, I think it's Westlake, isn't it, Dave?
Yes, Westlake, Ohio.
In Ohio. And for him, it's not morning, and it's not a beautiful autumn morning. It happens to be a spring evening, well, late night, I guess. What is the time, Dave?
1 minute after nine. So, but we did have a beautiful spring day, but about an hour ago we had a torrential rainstorm. So hopefully the power will stay on.
Fantastic. So I'll pass over to Reverend Dave Clements to give the opening words for this morning's service.
It's something that I wrote a few years ago called Possibilities. It is said that ministers are here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. I say we are all afflicted and we are all comfortable. May our time together this morning be a comfort and a confrontation. May we here find peace in times of tumult, and may we invite tumult into the lives of peace. May we find calmness in times of restlessness. May we here allow restlessness to evolve into action. Let this be the place you consider what you've never considered. Let this be the place you imagine for yourself something new and unthinkable. May this time together bring dreams of new ways of being in the world. Come and let us worship together.
We'll now have our prelude this morning, Message in a Bottle, played by Brendan and Grant. Thank you, Brendan and Grant. Lovely to hear that old Sting song played so well. Marcus, could you come forward now? This is entitled The Dancing Flame and was written by Stephanie Cage. We light this chalice as a visible reminder of our connection to Unitarian communities everywhere and to all humanity. Let this light shine as a symbol of the common flame of humanity which dances in every heart, kindling joy and hope, touching all who feel it with the warmth of love, burning away hatred and anger, and lighting the way to a better future. Jenny, time for the story for all ages. Jenny is our lay leader at the moment, and she's having a bit of a break today because of you, from having to give a sermon.
Emu, the nomad. It's said that Emu was once naive enough to cut off his own wings just to be different, to prove himself greater and more noble than other birds. His legs had always been long, but then he bumped and bruised his shins on rocks and tree stumps and thorns. The skin came off the lower part and big lumps swelled up on his feet, and he regretted his decision greatly. In the end, though, he learned to run almost as fast as other birds could fly. Scientists, of course, have a different explanation. They say he probably gave up being airborne, as it was easier to find food on the ground and there was no immediate danger to his life. Hence, no need for wings. But in any case, he is fated to be a nomad, remaining in one place for only as long as food and water are available. Emu must look after a clutch of 5 to 15 blue-green eggs for his wife lays, of course, which are highly prized as an Aboriginal food and also an artifact for carving. He sits on them for about 2 months, barely leaving their side, and so often fasting in the process. He also barely sleeps or tries to remain constantly awake while sleeping in case someone tries to jump him or run away with the young. He listens first with one ear and watches with one eye till these become tired, and then he opens the other ear and eye in turn. This is how he accidentally discovered the art of lucid dreaming. Emu is both a symbol of endurance, physical and spiritual. He's a symbol of doing the right things and doing them right. Having once made a foolish decision, he might have chosen the path of retribution and regret. However, by cultivating a noble attitude, he turned the situation into a saintly quest, and now, due to his dedication to the calling of spirit, he has great faith in himself and in the rightness of his past and present. Emu is a symbol for liberation, a curious one, admittedly, but especially important for the single man who does not have a harem of ladies, but a brood of youngsters with him, whom he must teach knowledgeable action. The great bird knows when to move, where to move, and how to move to avoid danger, and when to stay silent. He needs no strategies and no plan, as he trusts the universe to show him the way home. Encountering him today is a sign you may need to develop that same awareness. Perhaps you have this sussed. If you're planning to travel or shifting house for the umpteenth time, it may be that Emu is your primary totem. You will know that all things are impermanent, nothing ever goes as planned, and the only way to be certain of fulfillment is to have no expectations. If, however, you feel as if the universe is forcing change upon you and you're concerned that you might not be quite keeping up with shifts in technology, changes in the economy and society, relax. Stop worrying that the rug is being pulled out from under you. Learn to dance, as the wise man said, upon a shifting carpet. If you found Emu upside down, you're probably coming under a bit of fire lately to settle down and put down roots. And it might be worth thinking about. You see, contrary Emu suggests you could be running away from something, which is probably no more than a calling of your own heart. Travelling expands the horizons of the soul, no doubt about it. It also teaches us independence. It appeals as bohemian and somewhat otherworldly. It can gift us with patience, tolerance, and understanding to bring home. But as much as we need to know when to go, we also need to know when to stop.
Thank you, Jenny. And I should have mentioned, Dave, that that story comes from a book put together by our Indigenous people up north, and has some excellent interpretations of the dream time and its relevance to us and spirituality. Really worth reading if you get a chance to. It's now your turn to take part in the service. We're going to have our first hymn, The Song of Thanksgiving, number 17 in the Green Book. as your own. Time for meditation now, so make yourselves comfortable. As we return our attention to the world outside, may we retain an awareness that within us lies a sacred space, a place of calm and balance. May the stillness go with us into the busyness of our lives and be for us a sacred oasis of peace. So be it. Well, I'd like to pass over to Reverend Dave Clements now to give the address to you. So it's over to you, Dave.
Well, thank you for me to be able to have this privilege today to address you even under these circumstances. And I would hope that our time together, that we can grow and learn something, and that we will all be better off for being together this morning. A few weeks ago, I was meeting with a group that we meet with about every 6 weeks of international ministers of interfaith. And the topic we were discussing was the status of religion and what's happening with it. As each person from the interfaith, we had a minister who was from Vienna, another person that was from London, another person that was from Canada, some from the U.S., and as each talked about their challenges and religion, there was a common theme that I saw that went through it. Regardless of what faith, we even had a rabbi that chatted with us, the theme of curiosity, connection, and how to move forward and try new things was kind of a common theme through it. And I was struck with the fact that every time in the world when we want to move forward in a great way, there are people who have fresh ideas who move us forward. And so I began to percolate the concept of what is a spiritual entrepreneur. And as I was working on this sermon, I saw on the internet they were doing kind of a flashback of ads of the decades. And they came to this one. And it was of a Radio Shack. A Radio Shack was like a big electronic thing in the U.S. and Canada. You could go there, you could buy just a variety of things that all having to do electronic. Such things as a cassette recorder, if those of you can remember what those are. Telephones, cameras, AM/FM radios, compasses, alarm clocks, stopwatches, all those things. And the captain underneath the ad on the internet said, everything that we've listed on this page is now emerged into one thing that we call the iPhone. And I found the image of all these things one way to be funny, but it was an amazing reminder for me about the power of innovation and how entrepreneurial spirit can change the world and make it easier, more efficient, and more enjoyable. Just think for a moment, the many devices, gadgets, and tools and machines that we enjoy today, and realize that all of these came about by someone who first had an idea, developed that idea, and helped to shape their dream into a reality. We call these type of people entrepreneurs. Richard Branson, the owner and CEO of the Virgin Group and a true entrepreneur, defined what it means to be an entrepreneur. Branson simply states, being an entrepreneur simply means being someone who wants to make a difference to other people's lives. What I love about this definition is that you don't have to own or run a business to be an entrepreneur. With this definition, Mother Teresa was an entrepreneur. The key words are make a difference, in other people's lives. Using Branson's definition, what an entrepreneur is, I would like to add a new concept to the word entrepreneur. That word is spiritual. And what do I mean by spiritual entrepreneur? Being a spiritual entrepreneur is having your inner spirit work through you in this world. Your motivation originates from an act of love and compassion. There's no thought of what's in it for me. Some of the fundamental questions spiritual entrepreneurs are motivated by are, how can I improve the lives of others? How can I ease suffering? How can I create beauty? My all-time, one of my favorite spiritual entrepreneurs is the late Buckminster Fuller, who was an inventor, author, speaker, philosopher, architect, and much more. He was a true generalist, and he wrote over 20 books. He toured the globe for over 20 years, giving lectures on how to improve the world. He had a deep understanding of himself and the universe that he inhabited. At an early age, after losing a young daughter to an illness, he decided he would commit himself to seeing what one man could do in behalf of all humanity. For the rest of his life, he committed himself to making a difference to other people's lives. In my own family, I only have to look to the understanding, the meaning of what it means to be a spiritual entrepreneur as I look to my mother. My mother was a dietitian who worked with many individuals daily who required special diets and meals that would provide them with what they needed nutritionally. My mother recognized that when many of these people left the hospital where she was caring for them, that they went home, and many of them had no one to provide them with the proper diet that they had been receiving in the hospital. And many of these individuals would leave the hospital well and return in less than 30 days with nutritional issues. My mother believed that there'd be a better way to care for them. She and three other dietitians looked at what they could do to improve the lives of others, ease their suffering, create a caring, special moment in their lives. It was from their pondering, risk-taking, and organizing that the concept of a meal program was born. Being a young child, I watched my mother's idea grow and blossom into where today almost every community across America and in many areas of the world have a program called Meals on Wheels. I see my mom as a spiritual entrepreneur because she strived to make a difference in other people's lives. Think for a moment of the people in your life, past and present, who you believe did what they could do to make a difference in other people's lives. What are their characteristics? Just what does spiritual entrepreneurship look like for them? In researching about you and this congregation, I came across the name of Catherine Helen Spence, called the greatest Australian woman by Miles Franklin, and by the age of 80, dubbed the grand old woman of Australia. And yet, she was a Unitarian, and she preached at the Unitarian Church, not this one, of course, but she was part of your DNA. So you have your own, what I call, spiritual entrepreneur. There are many qualities of spiritual entrepreneurs, and I can't speak for what Catherine Helen Spence had, but I can speak of people that I have worked with and met in Unitarian congregations throughout the world as I've served in Africa and in America and part times in Canada. And here are some of the qualities that I have found among these leaders that I call spiritual entrepreneurs. One, they think big. They dream of what could be, not what is. They see opportunity in every obstacle. For example, they don't let small thinking happen. And such was the case of Sil Knutsson. She and I spent 3 years working together as co-chairs of the Capital Campaign. When we started planning the campaign, many church members made statements like, "What happens if we don't raise enough money? Who's going to pay for all of this? What if it's not going to happen? What if we lose members?" But every question Sil saw as an obstacle and as an opportunity. And as we worked together, her dream of what could be became what is. As the money was raised, the sanctuary was remodeled, and money was set aside for the purpose of continuing social justice programs. What that church is today is because of a spiritual entrepreneur who thought big. Number two, spiritual entrepreneurs see abundance and not scarcity. I'm reminded of a church where they received a large sum of money, about $10,000, which would probably be equivalent of about, 15,000 pounds. And they thought they were broke, and so they needed to conserve it. But to one person in their congregation who was a spiritual entrepreneur, they saw it as seed money to start something big. The same facts, the different mindset. Attitude is everything. I saw this type of thinking from a leadership of a small church here in the Cleveland, Ohio area. For years, the church membership had been declining, and the challenge was that their members were getting older. The building itself was not very accessible for members who had mobility issues. There was no way to get up to the top level where the sanctuary was without having to climb the rickety stairs. A dedicated group of visionary leaders saw the way to resolve the mobility issue was to install an elevator. Plans were drawn up, and the group launched a fundraising drive. And when I asked the group of these entrepreneurs how were they going to do it, they responded, "I don't know, but we're going to do it, and we're going to figure out a way." They didn't think, "We are a struggling church and we have no money." They thought that we are a congregation in this community that provides a wealth of programs, healing, and opportunities to connect. We will find a way to raise the funds. In a matter of a few short weeks, the money to pay for the elevator was raised. And today, that congregation is thriving, and the older members have access to the issue has been solved. Number three, spiritual entrepreneurs think vision first, resources second. Spiritual entrepreneurs are very comfortable with the reality that vision precedes resources. Casting a big vision will often lead to significant resources down the road. I know this to be true. Early on in my career, when I felt called to go into the ministry, I shared this with my partner, my friends, and some of my family members. And many of them asked, "Well, how are you going to do this?" And my response was simple. "I don't know, but I'm going to figure it out." Throughout the years, my vision of ministry has kept me going. The resources have come, and along with them, challenges and opportunities. One thing I have learned is that in casting my vision and going for it, I have no guarantee, because risk brings no guarantee. And I'm okay with that. It has been a wonderful journey. At times it felt worthwhile. At other times I have wondered, what was I thinking? But one thing that has remained constant through these past few years is my desire to help people and to make a difference. So are you ready to become a spiritual entrepreneur? You know, in the business world, we have an overriding metric for entrepreneurial success. It's called money. And the evolution of the iPhone from an entire store of individual items into one became a success because it generated a lot of money. The iPhone became a success because the metrics that they had set up said so. Spirituality is different. We don't have defined spiritual metrics. In a larger sense, we might not even know what we're searching for in our spiritual lives. While business is a venture in making money, spirituality can be about many different pursuits. Some of you might be looking for love, joy, acceptance, healing, grace, and etc. The lack of clear goals and metrics makes it difficult to know when you're succeeding. We don't know how to be good at spirituality. May I offer a metric that I have found to be very helpful when it comes to measuring my own sense of spirituality? That metric is joy. Joy is a hard metric for us to associate with spirituality. As children, we might have been taught that spirituality involves sacrifice, suffering, and even martyrdom. And sometimes it might, but our path to spiritual growth is often different. It involves looking in the mirror, accepting what we see, and developing habits that can aid us to create the life that we want. Through all that, though, we can experience joy. The joy of curiosity, the joy of exploration, the joy of insight, the joy of change, the joy of self-love, and of the true acceptance of who we are. This unreasonable joy isn't free from pain. Instead, it's the knowing that we are free to experience pain within the pain. Joy isn't freedom from pain. It's the freedom to experience joy within the pain. In our emotional bodies, joy comes from letting go. Emotional joy can come by connecting with others, by feeling seen and heard, or from a tender hug in a moment of pain. It's a sensation I have felt in my quiet moments when I think about the joy I receive from serving as a Unitarian Universalist minister. In our spiritual bodies, joy is experienced through acceptance, stillness, connection with the parts of us that transcend our physical bodies. We sit, we breathe, and allow ourselves to become aware of something beyond the whirling of our minds. We allow our thoughts and feelings to be as they are, while inviting a deeper, lasting joy, sometimes in the form of nothing at all. Unreasonable joy. This week, I invite you to explore the role of spirituality in your life. Ask yourself the question, what is my spiritual metrics? If you find that the metric isn't in line with the joy, peace, and love you're looking for in your life, examine the parts of your spiritual life that may need altering. Spirituality is the path by which we learn to love and accept ourselves. As we grow, breathe deeply and allow yourself that gift with unreasonable and lasting joy. I challenge all of you to become a spiritual entrepreneur. Begin to think big. Dream of what could be, not what is. choose to see abundance and not scarcity. Accept the attitude of, I don't know how, but I'm just going to do it. And last, start by thinking vision first. I believe there's one thing that our faith and our world needs today is spiritual entrepreneurs. What we need is a new generation of individuals who will forge out in new directions, who are willing to experiment boldly, dare greatly, and it will take their talents and energy and commit to making the world a better place to be. Become a spiritual entrepreneur. May it be so. And may you realize, each of you who are here today, the gift that you are to this congregation and to the world. As we've gone through 2 years of a pandemic, and as we gather together, we feel and appreciate the lack of connection that we didn't have and that we're having now. And we want those who were once with us to come back. And so it's time to think boldly, to be creative, to experience curiosity, to be excited about your faith, to find the joy that you had when you first discovered Unitarianism. Become a spiritual entrepreneur is my hope and my challenge to each of you as we move forward in these most difficult times. May it be so. May it be so. Thank you.
Please stand as you arrive.
To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and when the time comes, to let it go, to let it go. May it be so. Go in peace.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.